All right, let's turn to chapter 3. We're studying the book of Galatians all year. We're going slowly because it's the Word of God. It doesn't matter if we stayed on one word. We could stay on one word, one verse for years. Because the whole gospel, the DNA of the gospel is everywhere. So you can start anywhere, and it's going to always say the same thing. Same DNA. Good news. The Almighty, everything begins and ends with Him. Everything begins and ends with the Almighty. That's all there's to it. And since He's for you, no one can be against you. Everything in the world may look like, appear to fall apart. It's not. It may be for some, it may be for many, but it's not for us. So, the beginning and the end is in God's hands, and all the middle, everything is there. There's no way that it can just go off from His purpose. It's always been His purpose, and it will always be His purpose. So, it's impossible for Satan to win even one time. Never. Can't do it. Am I on? I hope I'm on. All right. So let's look at the third chapter, and the seven chairs are just a device, a mechanism, not anything interesting. But I use them as a teaching memory device that everybody's born in chair one. Everybody's born in sin. Chair two is just made up. There is no such thing. If God is good, then you're not. If God is good, then you're not. If God says He's the only one that knows what good is and evil is, and He forbids you to eat of His tree, then you couldn't possibly be moral. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
From God's point of view, not the world's point of view. The world's point of view, they have moral and immoral. They're not found in the Scripture. Because only God, it's the one thing He forbids you to do, is don't ever tell me what good and evil is. I'll define it. Let's say you're a sinner. Could God love a sinner if He's holy? When He said not to sin? And if you do, you die? Could God overrule that and decide to love a sinner anyway?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So you couldn't possibly know what good and evil is. Just that one example is huge. And Jesus then added to it by saying, no one is good but one, even God. No one is good but one, even God. One time they called Him good, and He said, I'm not good. Don't call me good. He didn't say He wasn't good. He just simply said, why do you call me good, since only God is good? What He's saying is, you don't really know who I am. I am Son of God, but I'm also Son of Man. And as Son of Man, I always do what the Father tells me to do. As Son of God, I would do myself because I and the Father are one. But as Son of Man, coming down here, I emptied myself of all those things you have up in heaven, omnipotence and omnipresence and, you know, knowing everything and so on and so forth. But I came down here empty. I came on just like everybody else. I'm exactly like you. I am what you are. And when I die, you're going to die. And when I rise, you're going to rise. And if you believe it, so it is. You don't believe it, so it isn't. So you'll never know what good and evil is. Only God judges the heart. And He tells you, because whatever He reveals, then you do know it. If He tells you that believing on His Son, Jesus Christ, is good, that's good. Once He tells you, it's over. There's no discussion like, well, I don't understand that. That's irrelevant. That's evil to say that. If He says something's good, you cannot call it bad. And if He calls something evil, you cannot call it good. So people call things, oh, she's a good woman. She's a nice person. He's a nice man. That's not true. Even Jesus didn't accept that because He knew you don't know what you're talking about. You're not thinking I'm Son of God. You don't understand who I am. And so the fact that we just sang this song, Son of God and Man, He's Son of God and Son of Man. So that mixes us up, and that doesn't seem even right. How can you be both? The Greeks didn't even think that. They Atlas Shrugged means he was holding the whole world on his back, and all of a sudden he shrugged and it would fall down. So ever since that little story made up by man, the men and gods didn't mingle anymore. And so they no longer thought that God was man or that man was God. So Jesus was a problem for them. How can you be Son of God and Son of Man? How can God come down and be flesh? Impossible. So the Greeks had trouble with that. Because when you go by your own mind or your own will or your own emotions, you're going by nothing. When you go by your own mind, your own will, and your own emotions, you're going by nothing. So God calls that evil. Here's what he says is good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, there it is. So I could give 1,000 scriptures. They're all the same. But it doesn't matter. That one is good enough. So since man isn't good, can't be good, and never will be good, you may not know that, but even in heaven you will not be good. The only thing you did, and really smart on your part, which you didn't do, he gave it to you, is he married you. And once he marries you, you won't understand what I'm going to say, because it's a property ownership issue. There's a difference between property and possession. Property means I own it, it's mine. Possession means he may own it, but I'm borrowing it, or I'm using it, or I'm benefiting from it. So when he gets married, when Jesus marries your soul, now everything that's his is mine. He may own it, but I use it. And I may own my sin, but he takes care of it, because whatever is hers is his. Whatever is his is hers. So that's the difference between property, ownership, and then the use of it, the disposition of it, the enjoyment of it. So the wife suddenly owns it because she's now linked, tied to, and the two have become one. So everything my husband owns, I own. Everything I own, he owns. So he died. That paid for my debt. And then I live. That was the benefit. He took the burden. I got the benefit. You all see how it works? So marriage is an intimate thing with God. With man, it's just, you know, two people contracting. But with God, it's a covenant that never changes. And the husband takes everything that the wife has. What do you have? Sin and death. Oh, okay, I'll take that. So he took sin and death. And what do you have? Well, I've got righteousness and peace and salvation and freedom. Okay, now she gets that. So even though she didn't own it, she now does through the marriage, through the soul being joined and united forever. You're a new creation. Amen. The old has passed away. The new has come. What is it? Did you know that when a woman marries, she puts off her name, her old nature, and she adopts his name, his nature. So now all his stuff is her stuff, and all of her stuff is his stuff. So he pays that off. From then on, he rises from the dead. It's over. You all see that? Good news. Good news. So there's nothing bad news in the Bible. Hallelujah. There is no bad news in the Bible. Amen. Unless you choose it. If you choose it to think that you're God and you know stuff, and you know what good and evil is, that's fine. God will not stop you because he doesn't force his way. So the husband doesn't force the wife to love him back. It's free. I love Peggy, but I don't force her to love me. Do you all understand? Whether she does or she doesn't, it's none of my business. I don't even care. All I know is I chose her, so all my wealth goes to her. And all her wealth, she keeps that too. So she wants to have everything. Oh, Peg, how come we're spending all my money and none of yours? Well, just keep it up. You know, just keep going. earn more, get more. And I'm happy to do it. Why? Because I made a decision. That's my decision based on faith. So that the husband should bear the burden. ML, all the burden's on you. All the wife gets is the blessing. That's a good trade. That's a good exchange. You've heard of the exchanged life. I wish Chad were here because he used to work with them. But there is an exchange. There is an exchange. And that is that what I own, now Peggy also owns. Well, that's mine. And I remember in the marriage at a certain point I said, Peg, that's my letter. You see my name on there? Don't be reading my mail. Well, I just wanted to see what was in here. No. That I have almost nothing left of me anymore. That's the only part of me left. So don't. I have some secret things like that. They just belong to me. And then God spoke to me and said, "No." I remember it was her birthday coming up, and I remember the present I gave her was, from now on, everything I'm thinking, feeling, wanting, knowing, it's yours. And so you can ask me at any time, abuse me all you want. I don't own anything now. It's all yours. Did y'all see that? That was a killer. What happened to Jim? He's gone. There's no more Jim. I had no persona. I had nothing. Now naked. Now completely empty. And so that's what Jesus did. Are you all aware of that? That's what Jesus did. He had everything in heaven. Why come to earth and, you know, share it? Why come to earth? Because that's what the Father said. I want you to do that. And he said, okay, here am I, send me. So he willingly, gladly loved his neighbor as himself. He didn't have to. He just said, Father, don't you go down. Let me go down for you. I want to please you. I don't have to. I want to. I'm not under a law, a duty that I have to. I just want to. I saw you sighing over mankind. Let me pay for that. Don't put the burden on those people, poor people down there. Let me go down in your stead. Let me go in the name. Blessed is he that cometh in the name. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. In the name of the Lord. And Jesus came in the name, and he said, someday the Jewish people will acknowledge and confess and declare that Jesus is Lord. He came in the name of the Lord. We killed him. We crucified him. But as he said, he rose again and forgave us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
So let's forgive all sinners in the world.
Amen.
Let's forgive all sinners. George Soros. Let's forgive him. He wants Hillary to be president. So he's going to pay billions. He has, you know, 24 billion. He wants to destroy every nation. He doesn't want any nations left. And Hillary's his girl. And so he's going to support her. And he is the one that withdraws from Bernie, and then that's the end of Bernie. So he knows how to put in play what he wants, because he's powerful. He's powerful. So let's love him.
Amen.
He can't do anything. Who's he? Nothing. Is he a god? He acts like one. And he's the one that causes all the problems in the world. So what? He's the one that destroys millions and millions of people. He's the one that brings people with no borders, no Mexico, Texas border, no nothing. He doesn't want any borders. He wants to make money off of everybody. And sometimes he makes $1 billion in one day. Easy. Easy for him. He just manipulates the currencies. And he did Ukraine. He did everything. He's behind everything evil. Isn't that funny? So, are we worried about him? No. Because he can't do a thing. He can't do a thing. So we don't need to go and buy gold or silver or anything. We got Jesus.
Amen.
If you were the Queen of Sheba and you had a lot of gold and you wanted to get married to Solomon because of his wisdom, which is the more valuable, the gold or the wisdom?
The wisdom.
The wisdom. So she didn't care that she was giving, you know, billions and billions of dollars of gold. And it came out of Zimbabwe, by the way. The gold of Ophir, O-P-H-I-R. You know, she had all that gold. And by the way, Robert, he claims that he's the son. That the son of Solomon and Queen of Sheba is actually his great, 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 and so on. And the British Museum agrees. So therefore, his father was the Mona Matapa of all Africa. And so they have all these gold mines, King Solomon's mines, remember those? There were movies made on it. They put it in Tanzania, but actually Zimbabwe. That's where he came from. And if Robert ever became the president and king of Zimbabwe again, he'd have all of that. So we'd have more than George. I'm just telling you, why are you worried about anything? What if there is a God? What if there is a God and he runs the show, the whole show? He's the only one that's good. He's the only one smart. He's the only one that's strong. He's the only one. What if? Then we have nothing to worry about. So I don't know why people are running around and nervous and so on and so forth. When, if Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I mean, how can you get beyond that? Even a little two-year-old can sing that. They don't even have to understand what it's saying. They just say it. They just sing it. Because it has a nice tune. For a little kid, they like that. And little kids, I don't know how they know the difference between Buddha and Jesus, but they do. Somehow they're in the back seat, you know, just come out of Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know. You know, they're back there in the back seat of the car and you're driving along. Where did they learn that? Sunday school. Well, you can't get beyond that theology. Nobody has ever gotten beyond that theology. If you want one clear thought in your life, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Clearest thought in the universe. There is no thought clearer. You cannot go past that. So all you have to know is that one song, you're finished for life. So teach that to your grandkids. And they all know it. If there were little kids here, we'd sing it. Because they like that one. Yeah, Jesus loves me. I know that one. And you don't have to know anything about it. He is weak. We are strong. You know, nope. We are weak and he is strong. They got it. They got it. When I'm weak, he's strong. So all those little kid songs actually are very accurate. So how you doing? How's everything going?
Great.
It's perfect. Couldn't be better. You don't need anything that you don't have today. If you don't have it, either God will supply it or you don't need it.
Amen.
But if you needed it, he'd supply it. He can't not love you with all his heart and soul and strength because he said he did. So you don't have to prove it. You don't have to see it to believe it. You can believe it without seeing it. You can believe it without seeing it. Because he has done a lot of promises. They're all written down in the Bible. He has done a lot of promises and he's kept them. He's confirmed them. He's actually come through on that. He performs his promises. All the covenants, multiple promise covenants. Not just one. Not just the one to Abraham or just this one or that one to Noah or to Adam or whatever. He's made a gazillion covenants and promises over the years. Did you know even Moses made promises from God? Everybody thinks of him as a lawman. He actually has more laws than you can think of, but he's got more promises than he has laws. When Solomon dedicated the temple, you can go and read it. When he dedicated 8th chapter, 56th verse, he prays this prayer. God, the only reason we're here today dedicating this thing is because you've kept your promises that Moses gave us. I didn't know Moses gave promises. But apparently he did. In fact, you just keep reading and you discover that all of those things are promises. In fact, everything God has ever done. And that's Robert's great, 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 great grandfather. So there you have it. So I like those kind of things. Don't you like things to be simple? Wouldn't it be good if you could just live your life knowing that if God be for you, no one could be against you.
Amen.
And you're safe. I don't ever buy security systems and all that stuff. I'm not saying you can't. I'm just simply saying the security, the only security, is the angels I station around my house and home and life and everything I've got. I just station angels. Did you know you can command your angels? Just get one. I put one on each corner of the property and put one at the door and the back door and just station them around. Did you know you can order angels around? They're just servants. I mean, they're about 18 feet tall or something. I don't know how tall they are, but I think they're pretty tall because they have to be able to see over the trees and stuff. Somebody's coming. I guess they whisper to each other. They're going to try to do harm, Pastor Jim and Peggy. I don't know. Did you know you could do that? You could live without fear.
Amen.
You can live without fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. So you don't have to live with fear, according to the Bible. If you buy the Bible, if you don't buy it, you're nervous. If you just say you buy it, but you don't really, then I can't help you. If your heart's not in it, if it's just your head, I can't help you. I can't make your heart believe it. But my heart, I'm testifying myself. My heart, I believe it. I believe everything in there. I don't even have to read it to believe it. I've read it through and through, but still, I don't have to read it to believe it. I believe it without even knowing exactly what it says. And I haven't exhausted all verses anyway, but even if I don't, I believe it ahead of time. I just believe everything God ever said is good. Because I read a couple verses like that, and I just put that over the whole thing. You know, I don't need to actually know everything. I know enough to know that I don't need to know everything. I know God knows everything, and He wrote it down there, and I can read it every day if I want to. And I do. And I do. And I get up early every morning, and I just read it and read it, and I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed. I get something new out of it every day. Amen? I'm not looking for new. I just get it. I'm just reading what it says. I don't read it to have more faith. I don't read it to get something. I'm just reading it. Just without anything. I'm not doing it to get. I'm doing it because I believe that's the truth. And as I read it, just truth jump out at me. And I thought, I never knew that. Wow, that's even better than I thought. Wow. I've never read anything negative in the Bible. I've never read one verse that scared me. Because I understand that Jesus took care of all the bad stuff in there, and He wanted to marry me, and I got all His good stuff in heaven. I haven't even been to heaven yet. I don't know if they have peanuts as you open the door, and there's a little bowl of peanuts there or what. But I hope there is. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to look for the peanuts right inside the door. Because I know that that's a good house that has food for you right away, just in case you're hungry or something. The butler comes, you know, here, sir, would you like this or that? How many know that when you go to heaven, you can eat the fat things?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool right there. And you can drink all the wine you want. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
And did you know we don't even need food?
Yeah.
Or drink or anything? Because Jesus is our food and He's our drink and so on. But you get to do it just for fun. But there's no big deal to anything anymore. You won't even sleep. There's not an even sun or moon or anything. You don't need any of that stuff. When we go to heaven, it'll just be kind of like fun. No dusting, you know. I mean, just it'll be awesome. Because dust gets on everything. I don't know if you've noticed that. You have to dust almost daily. Peggy's aunt and uncle used to dust their house every single day. I mean, they clean the whole house every single day. That's ridiculous. But they keep that thing. And the furniture and everything looks brand new still, doesn't it? I mean, they just keep it now. He's 100 and what, four?
Wow.
Or five or four.
That's why. No
dust. 104.
No dust.
It's no dust. Yeah, it's no dust. It's a thing. There.
Wow.
And so he still drives. I guess he's actually not driving, but he can. He still has his license and everything. But and he does all his own shopping. He does all his own he's got a guy that now helps him a little bit. But the point is, he's still sharp as, he's just really clear about everything. It's neat. So you can have a full and abundant life. How many want to live to be 104?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Well, might as well. I know a lot of people want to get out of this place. Check out. Not me. I want to see how everything falls apart. I want to see George Soros, just begging from me. I see that. He has to come to me if he wants the truth. Amen?
Yeah.
Did you know that God's rigged it so that you win? I mean, everybody. And he is so powerful that he could, if all of us were his children, he could still take care of us.
Amen.
Amazing. There's room at the cross for everybody, and there's room at the throne for everybody. You can go straight from the throne to the sky and whatever you go, and you can sit right on the throne. That's where I'm going. In fact, I'm already there. By faith. I don't have to see it. I believe it. I believe I'm already there, and I practice. I saw the news yesterday. I don't watch TV, but when I see storms coming, I can tell when the leaves are real quiet. There's probably a storm coming. So I went and turned it on, and sure enough, there was this storm that, stretched way out over Dallas and Fort Worth, and hail and all this kind of stuff. And I just went outside, told the storm which way to go. Go a little bit to the west, go east, and leave us. Nothing ever happened.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know what happened in Arlington. I don't know what happened in, out west, Benbrook. I don't know what happened in Dallas. All I know is that they had these horrible clouds and everything and so on. I said, I don't want any of that. Thank you, Jesus. And then I just spoke to the storm, and it never happened. And one time I heard a little bit of rain, and then in a few seconds it was gone. It's just like, thank you for watering the lawn. I appreciate that. Do y'all have fun? It's okay. It's okay if that wasn't true. I do stuff I don't care what anyone thinks. I'm just having a good time. Is it wrong, to have a good time? Is it wrong? Is it wrong to be happy? Is it a sin to be happy? Well, I don't want to be happy. Maybe the devil will get me or something. Take one step toward God, two steps, the devil will push you back. He doesn't want you getting to God. How many know the devil has no power?
Amen.
He's a roaring lion, but he doesn't have any teeth. He's just roaring. Hi, kitty. And so I'm not afraid of the big bad wolf, right? Because if you ever got into fear, you can't get out. Because I don't have any power. I don't have any strength. But I just borrow my husband. I just borrow his stuff. He owns it all. He everything is his, so it's mine. Because even though I'm not married to him in the fullest sense, I'm married to him good enough, betrothed to him. And he's coming back to get me when I'm all growed up. He's just waiting for me to come of age. Is everybody of age? Do you know you're supposed to marry when you're of age rather than too young? And so he doesn't want to marry you until you're of age. A disciple, when he's fully taught, will be like his master. All right, let's look at Galatians chapter 3. And since I've read that a billion times, let's see. Let's start at verse 5, 3-5. Then he who supplies or who is supplying the Spirit to you, he supplying the Spirit to you and working works of power in you. Who does the works?
He does.
Who supplies the Spirit? He does. There's no you in that. Mm-hmm. You're passive. Remember, I've said everything, chair 4, 5, and 6 are passive. Everything is passive. In fact, even chair 3 is passive. I'll tell you why. Chair 1 is real active. This is me. you know, trying to get my thing done right here, sinning. Because everything you do apart from faith is sin. But here, this one is you trying to be holy and better than me. I love that. You know, the sad thing is you can't get ahead of me. Even though this is me over here. Because I don't work hard at being good. In fact, I don't do a lick of work. I just believe Jesus takes care of all that. I let Jesus do everything. It's kind of like, I don't know, kind of like I'm the wife and he's the husband. Let him bear all the burdens and let me get all the blessings. So I don't work hard. I do not work at it. I'm not a good pastor, a good husband, a good father, a good friend, a good anything. I'm just Jim. There it is. But he says I'm born again, so I say it too. I'm born again. I don't even know what it means, but I just say it. I don't have to know. I don't have to understand it all. And God just promotes me, and I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to get it. I'm just a little kid. Just a little kid, stupid, but having fun, because I don't know any better. How many know that you can be happy every day?
Amen.
I mean, I get phone calls all the time from people, usually not living here, but there's some California or someplace they call me, and trying to get, you know, trying to explain their situation. I tell them, don't explain it to me. I already know. I already know you're an idiot. I already know you don't know anything. You wouldn't have called if you did. So, you know, a guy from prison got out, and he's, you know, trying to figure out what he should do and so on and so forth. I said, just be quiet. Just be quiet. Let me just tell you, Jesus did it all. It's already over. Stop it. Don't ask any more questions. And then when I said all that, said what the Bible said, he said, yeah, I agree with that. I said, well, then stop asking questions. You don't have any questions. Jesus has done everything. Just relax. Well, okay, I'm going to try. 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 Isn't that silly? I'm going to try to be at rest. That's what work. I'm going to work at resting. Just, if Jesus has done everything, he's done everything. If he hasn't done everything, he hasn't done everything. So unless Jesus has done it, it ain't going to be done. How many know in heaven everything's already done? As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven. As it is in heaven, I want that done on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. There it is. So, since I can pray that way, I also know that as soon as I say a prayer like that, because he taught me how to pray like that, I got a yay and amen. There's no way he can say no. No, not after what you just did. No, not after, you know, he doesn't have any of those. It's just, I just say what he says, and that pleases him. Did you know God has always been pleased with me? And you? Did you know he's always pleased with you? Even when you do bad stuff, stupid stuff, vain stuff, empty stuff, wicked stuff. He doesn't care. Did you know that he already sent Jesus to die for you? Did you know that he sent him 6,000 years ago before the foundation of the world? That's when Jesus died. He already had him kind of like in the edge of the stage, off in the wings. Jesus, don't come out yet. You wait about 4,000 years on this deal. And then when he finally came, you know, he did his thing and we killed him and he said, forgive you, and so on. And it was like, that's it. That was his little part. But he actually had done that. He had practiced his lines 4,000 years before that. And that was about 6,000 years ago. So Jesus actually knew everything, knows everything, and loves everybody. For God so loved the world. Church. No. He loves the world. That he gave his only begotten son. I love that.
Amen.
I love that. So, because God loves you, and even though I teach this every time and say it over and over again, I tell you, people still don't get it. I know they don't. I know they're still going to try afterward, like that guy yesterday. That somebody's going to try. and then talk to Tyson. You remember he comes all the way up from Houston, you know, the Woodlands down there. Yeah, it's okay. But I'm just telling you, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Peggy said, be careful, Tyson, so don't listen to this. Don't listen to this tape. Don't pay any attention to it. No, but he ends up rejoicing.
Oh, yeah.
After a few words, she's okay again. Because he was trying to be holy, and that's a hard deal. When you're not naturally holy,
amen,
and nobody is, then he didn't realize the great gains that he's made, that he used to just be wicked without thought. And now he's wicked, and now he feels guilty. And so I said, there, you could go a little further if you wanted to, and you could now not only be wicked, but now you feel guilty, and now you can laugh at that.
Yeah, right.
What do you think of that? Wow! Yeah! Because remember the days when you were just wicked and you didn't give it a thought? And you just knew, I'm sunk, and you just sunk in. And now at least you feel guilty. But and God's just showing you, see, you've improved a little bit. You now feel guilty about being stupid, ignorant, and evil. But now you could actually laugh at all of your guilt. Not at the wickedness, laugh at the guilt. What are you doing with all that guilt? How does that help? How many know if you're guilty, feeling guilty doesn't make a difference? I mean, you're guilty. So how does feeling guilty help out? Well, at least I felt bad. I've been trying to be good. I'm thinking, don't think that thought. Don't say that stupid thing. Don't go to that place and so on. So he's trying real hard to be holy because he used to be so wicked and now he's trying to be so holy. And so he just went from chair one to chair two.
Feeling guilty is a good work.
You know.
It's a good work.
Yeah, it's a good work. God, you can go to heaven by feeling guilty. You are guilty, but if you feel guilty, you can get there quicker. So you see, repentance, I've taught you this, repentance doesn't mean what anybody thinks it means. There's three words for repentance, the Latin, the Greek, and the Hebrew. All right. So I've taught you this before, but I like going over it. It's very good. Three words for repent. How many know that repent in Latin is penitentium agite? Now let's say that so you have some Latin. Penitentium agite.
Agite.
Okay. So in other words, do penance. Agite, do. Penitentium, penance. Okay, so do penance. In other words, do an act. Do something. Do something. Okay, so Roman Catholics built the whole Middle Ages, the whole Pope thing and all of that stuff for 1,000 years or more. They were all into that one. Thomas Aquinas had borrowed the idea from the Greek Aristotle and so on and so forth. How many know that it isn't good for Christians to borrow pagan words and ideas? But anyway, he did. So if that means repent means do penance, then it's an active thing. You see, repent is passive. But most people, English people think, English speakers think, it means stop doing what's bad and start doing what's good. You stop smoking. You start, you know, putting those little things on your shoulder or whatever they got these days or however they make you not do it or chew gum or whatever they do. I don't know what they do. But whatever they're doing to quit doing bad and start doing good. Start going to church, huh? Yeah. So that's what repentance is. Say you're sorry about what you did in the past and you're going to turn over a new leaf. That's like a New Year's resolution or something. How many know those are really cool? They last about an hour and a half, you know, whatever. I've told you this, but I always do my calendar every year. I'm going to do my calendar, and I'm going to do it every day and get it done. And I do. January is always loaded. I buy those big things, and I write all my stuff in there and got it all laid out. And then that's about the last of it. Then by the time it's like this time of year, I forget all about it. I don't even know where the thing is. And I was going to be organized for the first time in my life. So I just, I have a lot of excuses because I'm a pastor, you know, and I have to read the Bible. And, you know, but the truth is I'm just disorganized and lazy and a postponer. Does anybody else have those sins? Yeah, that's me. I was going to be better than I am, but I still am as bad as I've always been. I never make any progress, it seems. So penitentium agite, do penance, I would not make a good Catholic. I'd be a lousy Jew. I'd be not a good Mohammedan, because I'm not into behaving. I don't know why. Is there anyone else in here who has trouble behaving? You know, over laws and rules and, you know, make sure you fill it out this way and say it that way and put your garbage this way and so on. I mean, rules just bother me. Seatbelt thing still bothers me. I still can't remember to do it. I just can't. Because when I started at, you know, age 17 or whatever age I was, I just didn't pay attention to anything. I just wanted to drive as fast as I could go. I still am doing it. It's so stupid. We had a 57 Chevy. Did you ever see one of those?
Oh, yeah.
They were nice. And I wanted to see if it would really go 100 miles an hour in 8 seconds. Or maybe it was 10 seconds. Whatever it was. So I went way out in the country. And I got on that road. And I knew, you know, it was late. I knew nobody's going to be here. And I just stepped on that pedal. And it was off the ground. I remember that. It was off the ground. And I was in town in just a few seconds. I was right there. And all of a sudden, I didn't remember there was a curve that went like that. And going at 100 miles an hour off the ground kind of thing, that's not too smart. Because you can't turn. You can flip, but you can't turn. So instead, I just let it go and went into the trees and all that stuff. But I came out unscathed. You know, my dad, I called him up, "Dad, I've destroyed the car." "Well, are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." "Well, how'd you get out?" "Well, knocked all the handles off, so I just walked out." Knocked everything off of it. You know, went through a tree and a pole or something. But I wasn't guiding it. I was just stupid. And I should have been dead. But my dad said, "That's okay. It's just a car. Don't worry about it." That was his car. So wow. I just wanted to see how fast that would go. How many know that teenagers are stupid?
Right.
And I just, but I was just eager to be an idiot. And I felt good, actually, doing it. But he didn't beat me or anything like that. He just, you know, got another car. I banged that one up, too. I banged up, I think, 3. Peggy was in one of them. You remember that? We were on the ice. I love driving on ice. I do. Because, you know, when you're young, you can do anything.
You're right.
So you can do, you know, where you whirl around and around. So when we bought a car, we bought a Volkswagen, 12-gauge steel. You will destroy, you know, anything you hit. Because that little bitty car actually is 12-gauge steel. It's nothing like plastic stuff we have today and fiberglass. It was, you could run on, you could go into the ocean. I don't know if you know that. Volkswagens would go into the ocean. Yeah. You could drive in because they were watertight. And I had to try it.
No way.
And then you could go in ice and anything because they had little skinny wheels. You could cut through all the snow and the ice. But I could go on the highway and just spin around and around and run into the bumper thing and, you know, just bounce off and keep going.
Awesome.
David, you remember that car?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did too.
That was a...
I had one.
You had one?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're cool.
Actually, it was my car.
It was Peggy's car? Yeah. That was the car. And she didn't think it was funny at all. But I was having fun. Yahoo! You know? So that's stupid. How many know you can be stupid and God still loves you? How many know you can be bad? He still loves you. How many know you can be ignorant? He still loves you. So, but now that I'm a Christian, I'm a lot smarter And here's how smart I am. I'm not smart. That's how smart I am. God's smart. I'm not. God's good. I'm not. God's strong. I'm not. So I've slowed down a considerable amount. But old age has something to do with that. And gravity has taken over. Gravity has taken over. I used to be trim. I used to be a gymnast and, you know, really awesome person. Because that's the way young people think. I could do stuff. Now, you know what? I don't want to do anything. I just let Jesus do everything. It's real good. You can just rest in Him. And then good works come out of me, and I didn't do them. When good works come out of you, you don't take the glory. You give God all the glory. Why? Because you know you didn't do them. You know how idiot you are, Hugo. Am I right? Yeah, big time. And so when you know all of your old sins, they're still there. And you can default system right back into them. And so I don't think about that stuff. You know what the Bible says? Think on these things. Things that are holy, that are true, that are just, that are right, that are excellent. That's what it says. So if you look at yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you look at Jesus, put your eyes on Jesus. Beholding Him, we are changed. Wow. Beholding Him. Beholding myself, I don't change. I just look at myself unchanged. But if I behold Him who changeth not, I change. That's amazing how that works. So I just look at Jesus all the time. Chair 4 and 5 and 6. And then pretty soon I'm in 7. So I like this passive righteousness rather than active. So agite. Penitentium agite. Do penance. But Martin Luther in 1516 read that in the Latin. He had memorized it. He had actually memorized much of the Bible in Latin. But he got a Greek New Testament from Erasmus. Wow. And he read it. And he saw that the word was metanoia. Change your mind. Meta, change, nous, mind. Change your mind. In other words, don't think of doing penance. Think of God paying your debt. Think of God doing everything for you. Don't think of you making a sacrifice or an offering or some kind of atonement for God. Don't try to please God. He's already pleased with you. He's never been mad in the first place. That's amazing. You remember when he said, don't eat of that tree, the day you eat of it, you will die? Well, they failed. They failed. And yet, they didn't die. Remember Adam lived 930 years? I'd call that not dying. That's a long time. And when he said, the day you'll eat of it, you'll die, he lived 930 years after that. I'd say that's pretty cool. Maybe God, I don't know. I don't think he lied. I think he did die, but he died kind of spiritually. I don't think he died physically. And hey, that's not bad, 930 years. That's pretty cool for sinning. The day you eat of it, you will die. There was another guy, Methuselah, 969 years, 31 short of the day. 31 short of the day. Remember, a day with the Lord, 1,000 years for us. So that guy almost made it. He almost got past the day. Almost. He didn't quite make it. So that's the oldest guy in the Bible. The moment that he died, they had a funeral for him, and that was the day Noah got into the boat, right after the funeral. Well, let's get in the boat, starting to rain. And so they buried him, and then they got on the boat, and that was it. That's interesting. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So Adam actually knew Methuselah, who actually knew Shem, who got on the boat, Noah's son, who actually knew Abraham. That's just four people to hand down all that stuff. That's not bad. I give to my son, then to the third and fourth generation. There it is. That's how accurate your New Testament is and your Old Testament is. There's only four people. And the first one wrote it down, gave it to the second one, Methuselah, who handed it then to Shem, We took it on the boat. Thank God for that, because otherwise those books would have been destroyed. Of course, they were just clay tablets and stuff like that. But then he handed them to Moses, to Abraham. So Abraham then gave those 10 tolidot. They're called tolidot. That means tablets. And have all the names. You know how they get it? How do they get all those names? You know, of Jared and all those names. Where do they get all those names? Well, because they were on little books. They were little tablets, little genealogies. And there they were. So if you want to go back to your ancestry, start with those 10. That's who your ancestors are. And then the rest of the world after the boat was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Those three parts of the family of God. Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm not saying this as a prophet, but I am a prophet, and I am saying it. I just read it in the Bible. If Shem and Ham get together, there's a blessing. But if Shem, Ham, and Japheth get together, all three members of the human family, because they can't get along right now, you have heaven on earth. That'll be the millennium. So very soon we're all going to get together. But you know, as Christians, we're part of a new creation. Well, we could start right now.
Right.
We can actually get together with anybody. They're powerful.
Amen.
Powerful. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. We can do it now. That's what little kids sing. And instead of, you know, adults teaching them something else, just stick with that little song. I believe that not only could we do it, I don't believe we have to do it. I believe God will do it in our day, in our time. So I believe that God is pulling together Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the whole family of man, bringing us all together. Maybe that's why people are coming in over the border. What the devil meant for evil, maybe it turns out to be a blessing. Because all we have to do is convert all those people, whether they're Muslims or Hindus or Buddhists or Catholics or Protestants or whatever they are. We can convert them all. Amen?
Amen.
What if He saved the best till the last? What if? Just think about it. What if this is the best day to be alive? You see everything falling apart? Don't look at that. Just look somewhere else and find everything coming together. Do you know that God always put His church right in the darkness? Because you're the light. What good is a light if there isn't any darkness to lighten up? What good is it to have a big light in here when the sun's shining outside? But maybe when it's dark, a little bitty light like a match does make a difference. Hey, I can't see the fuse box, but you just light a little match and you can see it. Oh, here's the one. Flick it over. So in a dark place, a little match could make a lot of difference. Do you know you're the light of the world? You are the light and the salt of the earth. Salt, you don't know what salt means. Salt means if you make a sacrifice to God, put some salt with it. You know what the salt is? The truth of the gospel preached. The truth of the gospel preached. You know why? Because it convicts people so that they repent in the true way, change your mind. It isn't due penance. It's God's already paid for everything. Have faith in God. And the Old Testament word, naham, means comfort yourself because your warfare is over. Your enmity against God has been paid for by God. He's not mad at you. He's not having a war with you. You're having a war with Him because you don't like His rules and His laws and all of His deals. But that's okay. You even hate the gospel because you don't want to, you know, give up your independence and do everything Jesus said. You don't want the Holy Ghost to do it, but I'll tell you, that's a good thing. What looks bad may be good. What looks good may be bad because you don't know good and evil. And you never will. You'll never figure anything out. But why do you have to? Let Jesus do it. Just repent. Change your mind. Just rejoice. Comfort yourself. Middle voice. So the Hebrew has the middle voice, which means it's reflexive back on me. I'm not comforted by God. That would be passive. But I comfort myself because of God's promise to me that all things are working together for my good. And I comfort myself on that God not mad at all my sin. Even though He gave a law that said He hates that stuff. What He meant was, I can interpret what He meant. I can make Him sound better than He sounds. But he actually is better than what it sounds like. He actually, when he says, don't eat, he meant you will. And he also meant, but Jesus said, eat of me. You ate the poison tree that led to death. The day you eat of it, you'll die. But now you can eat me and live. So you ate the poison, now eat the antidote, the balm in Gilead. So Jesus is the antidote to everything evil and dark and nasty in this world. You get Jesus, you have heaven on earth. Woo!
Hallelujah.
It's exciting. That's something you can shout about. Anyone else want to shout?
Yeah!
Woo! You know, it's too exciting. I don't know. Little kids would get it. I wish I had little kids here because they love shouting, Yahoo! You know, that is, if Brazos were here, she'd say, Yahoo! Because little kids love, they don't even care what it's about. It just sounds good. They just want to break out at any moment. Well, that's the way Christians should be. Everything's going our way.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I hope I don't have to quit right now. Do I have to quit?
Very quick.
Oh, haven't even gotten into the good stuff. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, verse 3, do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? In other words, if you began in the Spirit did it. And you didn't do it. You're not Spirit. You're little s Spirit. But this is God's big Spirit, big S. Do you now perfect yourself in the flesh? No, you can't. Did you suffer so much in vain? If indeed it was in vain, then he who supplies the Spirit to you and works the works of power in you. Did you know when the Holy Ghost comes, you get power? Is it by works of law or is it by hearing of faith? It's by hearing of faith. So this word here, naham, means comfort yourself. Metanoia means change your mind. And agite, penitentium agite, means do penance. Well, I don't like the active one. I like the two passive ones. And I especially like the reflexive one. Comfort yourself. Because this is what he says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people. Not a good translation. Better. Comfort yourself, my people. Tell Jerusalem, tell her that her warfare is over. She's no longer mad at me. He didn't say, I'm no longer mad at her. He was never mad. God has never been mad at sinners. Yeah, but that's why he didn't kill Adam and Eve. He let them live. That's amazing. He's never punished anybody but Jesus for sin. If I sin in chair one, Jesus dies in chair four. My sin, Jesus has to pay for it because I'm going to marry him. Because he came along and said, will you marry me? Well, I'm a sinner. Well, that's the only kind I marry. Did you know that he didn't come for the righteous? Self-righteous. He didn't come for those. Didn't come for those. Came for sinners who repent. I'm repenting. Naham. Metanoia. Not penitentium agite. And therefore, I'm born again. And then I die to my sin, because he does all that too. And then I become a lover, because he does all that too. He does everything. Because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So he actually gets me to chair 7, and I didn't do a lick of work. I never did anything but be me. Because how can you be what you're not? How can I be what I'm not? I can be a phony in chair 2. I can be a hypocrite and a liar, and I can say that I'm not wicked when I am. A lot of people do that. But it's better just to say, I am wicked. And he goes, yeah, that's what I want, a sinner that repents. But not repents by doing good and stop doing bad. Not who goes to chair 2. This is not righteousness. This is righteousness under the law. Keeping the law, nobody's made perfect under keeping a law. I like the gospel. Jesus Christ died for me. When he was crucified, I was crucified. Soon, estoro. Estoro is crucified. Means were, you were. I was crucified. But I was crucified together with him. Soon, estoro, my. Soon, estoro, my. I was crucified with him, together with him. When he was, I was. When he rose, I rose. When he got on the right hand of God, I'm on the right hand of God. Because I'm already betrothed to him. And even though I haven't sat on the throne yet, I'm already there. I'm already seated with Christ in heavenly places, the Bible says, by faith. So all I need is faith right here in chair four. And then I move on here where I actually not only just have faith in his promise, but I see that he died for me. Now I get to die for him. Take that stick and beat me and take that thing there and teach me. You know, that's the rod and the staff. They comfort me. And you know what that does? Not there he forgave my sin for. Now he removes my sin and now I'm a lover. Because I don't love myself anymore because God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't need to take care of myself. Now I can love others. And therefore, what's the reward for that? Oh, you get everything he's got. You not only have the possession, you also have the property itself. Everything is yours. Why? Because everything his is mine. He's my beloved, and I'm his beloved, and he's my beloved, and I'm in him, and God the Father's in him, and me, and so on. I don't know how it all works, but I like it. Whatever it is, it's all good news. So is everybody happy? Who here is incredibly happy?
Amen.
Yes.
Just because of the Bible. Just because of what it says. I'm not reading in a tricky way. I'm just reading what it says. I'm not making it better than it is. It's way better than even I can say. I'm just telling you, it's good enough for me. I don't even need to know. It says be happy all the time. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. There he is, there he is, there he is. It's a process. It's not a one-time event, get saved. No, that's just justification. Then that's sanctification. Then that's glorification. That's the outer court. That's the holy place. That's the holy of holies. And then he comes along and says, you know, where's my bride? She is a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish, without any stain, without any, you know, uncleanness or impurity or whatever. She's perfect. Well, I can't do that. I can't do that. That's why I repented. Because I believe now that my whole life is Jesus. He lived my life for me. He paid for all my sin. And then he resurrected from the dead and gave me the power of his resurrection. I know him now in the power of his resurrection. Not only that. And I have fellowship with his sufferings. I don't mind suffering in chair 5. I know him here in the power of his resurrection. He rose, so I rose. He died, so I died. But now I'm rosed up. And now he, not only that, he gets rid of all my sin. Not just forgives it, but gets rid of it. No longer rules. Even if I'm still doing it, I don't care. I'm a work in progress. How many know that a work in progress means it isn't ready yet to go out the factory back door? Don't put it on the truck yet. We haven't tested that thing. So now we're being tested, right? And being tested here is good. You're being disciplined, you're being taught, you're being trained. When a disciple's fully taught, he'll be like the master. Spirit, soul, body. Now everything about me is pure. I didn't do it. So I'll pass it. Now, I go to heaven. Or, let's call that the millennial chair. For 1,000 years. 1,000 years. That's good. For 1,000 years, I rule and reign with Christ. And getting used to it after a while. But I'm starting right now. I'm pre-millennial. I'm starting right now. Because you know, we don't have to wait because we're a new creation. We're already seated with Christ in heavenly places, according to God. And I don't care if it sounds right or wrong, I'm taking it. Because I don't know what good and evil is. I don't know what right and wrong is. I don't know what true and false is. I listen to God for everything. God, how do I understand that? You love your wife. Okay, Peg, I love you. How about Randy? Yeah, you love Randy too. But he just did this and it didn't do that and so on and so forth. Yeah, you love him. Okay. I love you, Randy. Amazing. Amen. It is amazing. Amazing grace. How sweet.
Yes.
I mean, you know, those old hymns are pretty accurate.
Yeah.
They're real accurate.
Yeah.
I don't like the morbid ones, you know, out of the depths, you know, cried to thee and so on. I mean, they're okay, but I'm beyond those.
Right.
I'm into the happy ones. Get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. You know, I like those. Janet, do you know that one?
My Lord and I.
That's a good Baptist one. Those Baptists, they got that joy thing down. They may be hypocrites, but they got that joy thing down. Their hymns are good. Their hymns are good. They got a good God, right?
They asked me, what did a Baptist think? I said, it's been 40 years since I was a Baptist. I don't know.
You grew up in it. Once a Baptist, always a Baptist. No, you're a new creation now. That's the beauty. So God wants everybody here to be happy today forever. Forever. All right. Who's got it? Who's going to be happy from now on? Karen. Willis.
Yep.
Who else? Hey, you don't have to qualify. The husband takes care of everything. He pays for everything. He opens the door for you. You know, he does everything. Peggy makes me get up and turn out the lights and make sure all the doors are locked and so on. Peg, did you close that door? I don't know. You get up and do it yourself. So you see, she's got it down. She wants all the blessing and me get all the burden. She's only amazed that every once in a while, one in a billion, but I do it sometimes. I'm learning. Now it's probably two. I'm probably up to two in a billion now. But, you know, little by little, how many know that God doesn't want to renew you all at once? He likes to take his time every day. Start all over again. Skip that day. That day's gone. Let's go. Let's start again. Wipe the slate clean. Start all over again. Today is the day.
Amen.
Ready to start today?
Yep.
Amen. And then maybe you'll make it to Tuesday or something. You know, I don't know how far you can go on this joy thing. Who else has testimony? I like people to testify. Who else? Just make it up. Just say it. Just make something up good. Who? Julia. Make it up good.
I just think this is great because I've heard a lot of teachings on the glory of God, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's all there. It's all in chair six. And it's great to know that and to know that He's there for us. But in order to